From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, March 6, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chi, Shawa, Salam Mat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Conbrio Chamber Series has a show at the Crystal Saloon this Saturday featuring the new Icefield Quartet. Tongass Trout Unlimited is hosting the Fly Film Tour this Friday at Piratrovich Hall. We'll meet folks from the Alaska Film Initiative, a community group looking to establish the film incentive program. Juno Live is offering their showrunner camp this spring break, and Lynn Canal Adventures wants us to start thinking about summer running camps for middle and high school youth. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. In this week's KTOO Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Occoquan and Beyond, Axel Briette Gillum is a co-owner of Cosmic Debris, a vintage Alaskana shop that began from his interests in thrifting and fashion. Briette Gillum grew up in Homer before moving to Juneau in 2015, and it's life in Alaska that inspires which items he sells.
My name is Axel Briette Gillum, and I am the owner of Cosmic Debris. We initially started the shop as kind of a pop-up situation. So, you know, markets at the Jack, the Mendenhall Mall had some Saturday markets. We would go to those and have a pop-up and kind of have our things. And then we kind of spontaneously found the space that we are now. So, yeah, to find us, we're basically at the corner of North Franklin and 2nd Street is where High Tide Tattoo is. And then if you just go up North Franklin Street a little bit, we're the first door on that same blue building, and you'll go up some nice stairs, and then we're the first door that you see. And when you come in, it's basically three rooms that are connected to each other. And so we come to the room that has all of the clothes. We have racks that are just vintage clothing that has fun colors, fun patterns, fun styles. You know, I like these. We have some of these pieces that are from the early 90s when there was this kind of Western wear thing going on. I enjoy those a lot. I think those are fun. And then we keep coming into the space. My favorite part of the store, which is the vintage Alaska clothing. So we have, this is a jacket for Eagle Quality Centers. When I was a little kid in Homer, it's now a Safeway. But when I was a kid, it was an Eagle Quality Center. So old Super Bear jacket with the old Super Bear logo on it, you know. So yeah, jackets like that, super fun. And then we have vintage Alaska sweatshirts, and then t-shirts as well. So now we're kind of in the, I call it the cashier room. It's where the front counter is. We have our TV with our cassette deck. And then, yeah, we have these flags here. I got these online from a guy in Ohio. And what's significant about them is they have the 49 stars for when Alaska joined the United States. And 1959 was the only year that there was a flag that had 49 stars because of December of 1959, Hawaii became a state. And then another thing that we also have that is vintage Alaska related is things like postcards, press photos. So yeah, things like that. We have a Patsy Ann postcard from the 1930s. And when I'm picking out items, or looking at items, I'm often thinking of there's probably people out there that would connect to this thing. But like one good example is I had a 1990s Anchorage Aces. So there's used to be with the Alaska Aces is the hockey team that we used to have up here. And before they were called the Alaska Aces, they were called the Anchorage Aces. And so it was a jersey from the 1990s that had Anchorage Aces on it. And then so I had a cowbell as well that had, you know, the season 97-96 on it. But I had that up and for sale, and I had a guy come in and his dad played on the Anchorage Aces. And so he was just so incredibly excited to see it. He was so excited to like get it for his dad and to like have it. And so, and then moving into the last room, currently it is our halibut coat room. And then the exciting development, this is like the new exciting development, is a chain stitch machine. And so what this is for doing like custom embroidery, and it's hand operated. So there's a crank underneath that I use to control the direction that the needle is going in. And, you know, right now we're running it, you know, this is kind of a slow mode, you know, not going too crazy fast right now. I need to work on my T's, but it almost says KTOO. Going into the future, I'm going to be doing basically vintage jackets, vintage clothing, and then doing direct to garment embroidery on those things of things related to Juno's history. Yeah, just, I don't know. These things, they make me really excited. I think they're really cool. And it's awesome to get to share them with others.
That was Axel Briette-Gillum for this week's Tongass Voices. And a reminder that the Juno Commission on Sustainability has a Q&A session about recycling trash and all solid waste at the Downtown Library tomorrow, Thursday, March 7th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. There are Zoom options or recordings available if you can't make it in person. For more, search Facebook or Google for the Juno Commission on Sustainability. Up next, a preview of Conbrio Chamber Series' upcoming concert this weekend. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday at the Crystal Saloon, Conbrio Chamber Series presents the new Icefield Quartet in concert. Here to share all the news on this new quartet and venture are Sally Schlichting and W. Todd Hunt, otherwise known as Todd. Gunachish. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Oh, very good. Thanks.
Busy for having us. Getting ready for this thing. So, Sally, you've been here numerous times with Conbrio Chamber Series. It's a wonderful series that you do a few different concerts throughout the year and in various different places. So this new venture, how did this come about?
Thanks for having us on. I really, it's great to be back. This just seemed like something kind of fun and different that we wanted to do. We maybe started talking about this a couple years ago. And a few people got together and played some Brandenburg concertos at the Crystal Saloon. And we just thought it'd be really fun. We were talking to Taylor Vidic at the time. It would be really fun to bring some kind of different works, different kinds of music to the Crystal. So although it's a classical program of sorts, the music is contemporary and modern in many cases. So, most of them are living composers, I think, except for Stravinsky and Messiaen, right? Yep. But just something a little different. We wanted to have a more relaxed setting. We want people to just sit back and enjoy themselves, have a cocktail and be with their friends and not have it be this, sit up in your straight back chair,
So, having it at a bar, basically, Saloon, and they've got that great performance space up front there now. And that'll be kind of cool. So who is in the quartet? Icefield Quartet.
Yeah, so we formed this quartet, Todd and I, with Elena Levy on violin and Ben Holtz on cello. And Todd is playing clarinet and I play flute.
Wow. And you're also going to have a couple extra people with you, right?
We are. We're going to have Sam Roberts on acoustic bass for one piece and Doug Smith on keyboard for another piece.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now you're calling this, what's the title of this?
Music for the Holocene.
Yeah, okay. Tell me about that. What's that all about?
Music of the Holocene. It's just a nod to our name in a way, which the Holocene period dates back to the last end of the last ice age.
I see.
The thing is, we're playing such an eclectic mess of works that I couldn't like say, oh, it's all 21st century music or 20th. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just like, the Holocene period covered the last, back.
It really covers it.
12,000 years practically. So we just call it that. The music. And it's a nod to our name, too.
Right.
So
I love that. And Todd, this is one of your many projects that I like to say, various projects in, or many projects in various stages of development, right?
Like you have a lot of various stages of development.
Yeah, you have a lot of things going on. So how does the Icefield Quartet fit into all that for you?
Yeah, this sort of, my involvement anyway in this. I really stemmed from maybe a couple of years ago. I just started playing clarinet specifically more and just felt like I was kind of on an upward swing and wanted to get better. And then we started playing together a little bit and I get more excited about it. And it's this, ball rolling down a hill that you can't stop.
Right.
And it ends up at the Crystal Saloon.
Wow.
Well, it'll keep going after that.
It's an unusual makeup of instruments, but there's actually works written for this ensemble. Mm-hmm. So that dates back, I don't know, would we say Schoenberg was the one who sort of started this kind of ensemble with flute, clarinet, violin, and cello. So
this specific quartet of these instruments
has precedent.
Yeah.
I see. So that's kind of cool, though, to have that kind of quartet maybe be hearing some music you normally wouldn't be able to hear, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, there's some pieces that have, exist solely for this set of instruments, but we've also got some arrangements of things actually
on the program.
Yeah,
the program. Like the Philip Glass. Glass.
Yeah, we're doing one of Philip Glass's string quartets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Has arranged for us.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's real fun. And actually, we've played some of it at Conflict and Compassion a couple weeks ago. And I did hear a comment that it's better than the string quartet version. So, ha.
That rumor about musicians being snobs isn't true at all.
I should say, too, we're not just playing these instruments, but Todd's also going to play bass clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
Also going to play alto flute and some piccolo.
Wow. So this is going to be pretty awesome.
Lena's playing violin and viola.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. There's going to be a bunch of instruments on that stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. So give us the details, Sally. Make sure we know. Sure. I know we know it's Saturday night, but give us all the details.
Yeah. So it's Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon. And there's a $10 cover charge. You can get a ticket in advance at crystalsaloon.com/events. And what else am I missing? It's the four of us and Sam Roberts and Doug Smith and just come and have a
drink. Yeah, you can come have a drink and there's an intermission too.
Yeah,
so
you can come and go.
Which I love.
Come and go. You don't need to stay for the this piece I'm leaving. That's
fine. I'm gonna go get a drink. Yeah.
Right. As opposed to, you sitting in the audience and it's dark, nice to be. So that'll be really lovely.
Yeah.
And for more on Conbrio, where do we go to follow you? What's the best place?
So facebook.com/Conbrio Chamber Music.
Yeah, and that's Conbrio Chamber Music, and you find that on Facebook.
Yep.
For this weekend's event, go to crystalsaloon.com. It's the new Icefield Quartet in concert at the Crystal Saloon, which is going to be really awesome.
Yeah.
And you can get your tickets at crystalsaloon.com/events for that. Sally and Todd, thanks so much for coming
in and
giving us a little preview, a little taste of what's going to be happening Saturday night at the Crystal. Going to cheese.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Okay. Up next, Tongass Trout Unlimited is sponsoring the Fly Film Tour this Friday night. We'll get caught up here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Idi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. KTOO turned 50 a few weeks back, and we are celebrating throughout the spring, and we want to hear from you. the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juneau for 5 decades. We'd love to hear your reflections on how KTOO has impacted you over the years. We're looking for audio submissions that are 1 to 3 minutes in length that share your thoughts, memories, driveway moments, personal stories about the station that we can use on the air. To submit, record your message on your smartphone and email it to junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Instructions for getting good audio can be found on our homepage at ktoo.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Salama, thank you. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The upcoming fly fishing film tour, sponsored by Tongass Chapter of Trout Unlimited, is happening this Friday night at Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. Here now, John Heifetz, otherwise known as The Hife on KRNN, and also Monica Southworth. Gunath Chish, thank you both for being here today. How's it going?
Going pretty good.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Of course. I'm happy to have you. So first of all, I know I've mentioned a couple things in here about, you know, Tongass Trout Unlimited having some fly things where we're going to learn how to tie flies at the bar and things like that. But what is Tongass Trout Unlimited?
Well, we are a local chapter. We are a part of TU Alaska, which is a part of TU National. And here, we're mostly in Juneau. We would like to expand throughout Southeast, but we are just a bunch of volunteers that care about fishing habitat. I think that's the short version.
Okay.
Right, right. We're a local chapter, all volunteers. And, you know, we do things like community casting night. We're involved with Montana Creek, does some restoration in the lower river because it was affected by flooding. And then we do bar flies. And we put on this great film festival every year.
Yeah, and this is a really cool film festival. Like, what? How does this come about? This is a group that's a national group that puts these films together, and then does it tour around with all of these Trout Unlimited chapters, basically, or how does it work?
There are the TU chapters do like it's F3T for short, Fly Film Tour, like to partner with F3T as a fundraising opportunity. And so IF4 is the other one, but we partner with F3T. So a lot of folks do use it, TU, as a fundraiser. But then there are other groups around the country that can purchase it and share it out in their communities.
Right. Yeah, it's been probably this week, it's probably been played 7 or 8 times throughout the country.
Yeah.
And we're just one of them. And it's been a really fun event for us. We get usually a pretty good turnout and we give away some items and we just have a lot of fun.
Is it does it serve as a fundraiser for you all as well?
Right.
Okay.
We hope it serves as a fundraiser.
Enough people buy tickets and do things. Yeah. And if you want to know more about the tour itself, you can go to flyfilmtour.com. And that sort of has all the places where it's playing. So if you end up going Friday and want to let your friends know about it in other parts of the country, that's where it would be listed as all the different places that the film tour will be playing. So what kind of films will we be seeing in this festival?
Well, we have 11 different films.
11?
From around the world. Slovenia, Brazil, Mexico, Canada, the U.S. And the one that I'm looking forward to that I think a lot of Junoites will identify with is it's called Transitions, and it's about the shoulder season in the spring. And so they start the day skiing and in the day fishing for brown trout.
That's so interesting. And I just learned this term shoulder season from somebody else. And I was like, what a great name for it, right? So to coming out of winter into spring. So that film Transitions will be all about that.
Yes.
That's cool. And then other films from around the world.
Yeah, there's a couple of them down in the more southern latitudes. Like there's one fishing for peacock bass in Brazil, which is part, you know, in the Amazon. There's another one fishing for bonefish and permit down in Ishkalak, which is a southern tip of the Yucatan.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so there's some stuff from all over. And then there's steelhead fishing in the Pacific Northwest, which people here would be familiar with. And what other ones we got there? I can't remember. There's 11 of them, and they're all short films.
Yeah, the short film. And I'm just curious, are there ever little films that happen from Alaska that get in this tour?
Yeah, lots of times there are. There isn't not one this year, I believe. I'm not sure about that, but a lot of times there's one. There's a couple films in Alaska because we have some of the best fishing in the world.
That's what I'm saying.
For sure.
And some great scenery to be filmed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And last year we featured, was it Mike Cole's video?
Yeah, Mike Cole. Yeah.
Yeah, from the Fly Shop. They made a video that we featured at the beginning just because, you know, we support our guys at the
shop.
Yeah,
he did a local film here.
Oh, yeah.
At Peterson Saltchuk.
Right. Yeah. You need to like partner with the Jump Film Festival or something. Get those creators to make fish films or something.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. So this takes place at Elizabeth Bratcherich Hall. And so do they have like a big screen that they drop down and then so the hall's open and then will you have like popcorn or snacks?
Well, we're going to have a few snacks in there. I went out the other day and bought some treats. And we'll have those in a basket. And doors open at 6:30. We're going to try to get the films at 7. And then we'll go about halfway through the films, take a little break, and give away some items. And then we'll show the rest of the films. And
I love that.
Yeah.
If somebody was interested in becoming a member of Tongass Trout Unlimited, is going Friday night a good way to like meet the group and sort of find out what it's all about?
100%, yes. So for the tickets, it is $20 for adults and $15 for students. But if you want to become a member of TU, it's an extra $2.50, so $22.50 to become a new member of Trout Unlimited and just to support the work that we do and hopefully join us on the trails this summer for some restoration work.
$2.50? That's
extra.
That's a lot.
To be a new member. I mean, we think it's like,
I see. So it's
that's
like,
not even a coffee. You know?
Right. I know. That's such a small amount. Might as well become a member because it sounds like, and then in the summer you get together, there's work that you do and things that all the things that you're doing to sort of help preserve conservation, wild trout, salmon populations and all the habitats in Southeast Alaska.
You got it, Boston. You should sign you up right now.
Well, I just want to say too, short films are awesome because what's great about a short film is if you don't like the one that's playing, there's going to be another one in about 10 minutes, right? So
exactly.
If it's not your cup of tea, the next one might be. So that's kind of cool. And again, it's Friday night. It's March 8th. It's at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. And how do people go about getting a ticket in advance if they want to? What's
flyfilmtour.com.
Okay.
Or at the Alaska Fly Fishing Goods out the road and or out the door.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes. And there is a Facebook event that links to our where you can purchase the tickets online.
Is that where we find more about Tongass Trout Unlimited? Your chapter is you guys have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. We just reinstituted it this year, so we're just getting started. And we have an Instagram account, so if folks search on Tongass Trout Unlimited, either on Instagram or Facebook, they will find us and follow us and friend us.
Yeah. I love that. Well, it's 11 films all from all over the world. It's happening Friday. It's Tongass Trout Unlimited's Fly Film Tour, and it'll be happening in Elizabeth Bratcherich Hall and John Hyfe.
And I'll be on the radio tomorrow.
You'll be on the radio tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be hyping it up.
Yeah, Dan Kirkwood is going to be joining me at 5 o'clock, so I'm going to put a little plug in for that.
Oh, please do. Listen at KRNN.
Yeah, right over there.
Listen to the Hyfe Show. The next studio over, I can wave through the window. Yeah. That's so good. Well, Gunnar Cheese for being here today. I thank you so much. It sounds like it's going to be a really fun event on Friday. And if you're interested in the conservation of habitats in Southeast Alaska and doing things like working with Trail Mix to improve access to local fishing areas, Tongass Trout Unlimited is the place to be. And you can find out more and become a member just for a couple extra bucks, including your ticket price. Because if you become a member, the ticket for the thing is free then, basically, right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, or you can look at it, if you buy a ticket, you become a member for $2.50 more.
Yeah, right. Pretty easy. I like that. Right. I like that. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Gunnar Cheese.
Thank you.
That was awesome. All right. Up next, we'll find out more about a group looking to get more films being made back in Alaska. It's the Alaska Film Initiative Group. Next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from
Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On an overcast day in Prince William Sound, a charter boat is trolling with a group of sport anglers when a salmon shark breaks the surface. Yeah. It's a 6-foot male shark with a pink salmon struggling in its jaws. Salmon sharks are well named, and salmon is their focus in summer, but they are versatile predators and eat more than just salmon. In fall and winter, squid and other fish, like dogfish, rockfish, and herring make up most of their diet, and they'll pick up crab and shrimp from the bottom. Even in summer, when salmon is their focus, 25% of their diet is other fish. Salmon sharks are predators, but they're also prey. Offshore killer whales are known to hunt and eat salmon sharks. Unlike most fish, salmon sharks are born fully formed. The eggs are not laid, but develop in the mother's uterus during a 9-month gestation, and 4 or 5 shark pups are born every other year. Closely related to great white sharks, salmon sharks are endothermic and maintain a body temperature much warmer than the surrounding water, part of what makes them such fast, effective predators. It also enables them to range much further north than most sharks, well into the Bering Sea and the North Pacific. But some over Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Alaska Filming Initiative is a new community group formed to start the conversation about reestablishing a film incentive in Alaska. What does that mean? Well, we're here with the group to break it down for us are Alex Salee and Stephen Cornfield. How are you both? Wasa'iti. What's going on?
Oh, great. Good, wow. Yeah. Thank you for that great introduction.
Of course. Yeah. So this is very interesting because we used to have a, I guess we should first start out and we'll talk about this, but what is a film incentive?
A film incentive is really a way for a production company to help you know, on big productions, it's a lot of money, right, that goes on, and they want to use a percentage of that how we used to have it was a tax credit, essentially.
Right.
And so using that, you know, it was a corporate credit, I believe, is how Alaska framed it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different structures. And so that's what we're trying to explore as filmmakers.
Yeah.
Is, you know, analyzing other states around us that and seeing what they're doing. There's 38 other states that have a film tax incentive, and they either do it as a tax credit, as a rebate, or grants. And so, you know, we don't have one currently anymore, but we're trying to figure out what is the best thing for our state that works for our community, which yeah. seemed like it didn't work before. So we're kind of unpacking that as well as,
you know. Yeah, because during that time when the incentive was in place, there were a lot of movies that filmed up here. Most famously, probably Whales, which starred
Big Miracle.
Drew Barrymore. Yeah, I called it
Frozen,
the Whale movie.
I know, because that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Everybody Loves Whales or something like that.
Yeah.
And then also we had Frozen Ground with Nicolas Cage and John Cusack. We had... there was a movie with Gerard Butler that was filming out in Whittier, and they like built this like sub because it was a submarine movie that's now on Peacock. I didn't even need to plug that, but I did. but they were actually in the middle of building this set, and incentive went away. and they stopped and they moved back to, they went to Canada. So it's basically, we want to, it's saving production companies money by filming up here.
And we like that because we're always looking at movies and TV set here.
Yeah.
And we go, oh, that's not the location. That's not actually the place. Yeah. That's not the thing. So I'm curious, how did this group come together? You said you're filmmakers. So it's a group of filmmakers who've come together to be like, we need to get this to happen so that we can incentivize folks to come up to Alaska and make more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, we're a volunteer group. We're putting in our volunteer hours to that, something that we believe in, that we do this for a living, you know, and we want to help build the future of filmmaking in Alaska. The two biggest examples is like True Detective, Alaska-based story that actually filmed in Iceland. And I was there and helped in the assistant directing department. But it's like, why do I have to travel to Iceland for a story that is about our community? You know, they came and did B-roll shots like in Nome on Front Street. So it's like, why does our community have to go to another country essentially to be able to get the opportunity to learn and be in these huge productions that we don't have here? Also, Alaska Daily, another big production, was filmed out in Vancouver. And
with the name Alaska in the title, and they filmed in Vancouver.
Right.
That's unfortunate.
And we're both independent filmmakers. You know, I have my own production company in UA Productions. And, you know, there's a ceiling here, and we have a lot of community that has amazing skills, and not just filmmakers, tradespeople. You know, building your sets, you need carpenters, electricians. Mm. There's all these different industries that get touched. And so we want to make sure that we can foster the community that's here so we don't have to leave. I don't want to go to LA.
Right, right.
Like I want to do the work here.
To make the movies here.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And so you mentioned sort of trying to get a feasibility study going to see what happens. Talking about maybe bringing back the film office, which we used to have back in the day as well, right? And then also I love this that you're talking about having some kind of state-managed website. Is that for resources for filmmakers and crew members and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, technically right now as filmmakers, there is no place to get permits or, hey, I have a question about this location. What's it like filming there? Mm. There's nobody to contact. There's no permits. There's no place to ask questions. And that kind of also plays into let's do things safe. Because if you can't pull permits to shoot on a road, then that means you can't close it. And that means like people will just be going by. And so if there's, you know, 100 people in this film crew trying to shoot on the road that's not closed could be dangerous. Yeah. And so it's like we want to have at least those little things as well. It's like, yes, our big ask is let's bring back the incentive. Let's bring back, you know, telling stories of Alaska in Alaska. But we also want a film office for people to go to and a website for people like, hey, I just have a quick Google search.
Right.
What do I need to do? Or I need to hire someone. Who do I need to go to? And it's like got directory and all that stuff.
So, and part of the reason you're in Juneau now is because you both don't live here necessarily, but you're here during the legislative season and you're doing some meetings and trying to figure out what might be
30
possible.
30 meetings.
30 meetings. That's a lot.
Probably 31, I think now. Yeah. I think we added a few. So it's like,
Best of luck with that. And because that's a difficult road to toe for sure. But it'd be great to see something like that come back and create, because I know when we had the incentive before, that what was happening is like people were being trained on how to become crew members.
Exactly.
And they were getting experience in terms of how to make a film and all of that. And I know that there was some controversy around when it ended, and you know, like they were gonna build a studio here at one point, and like, I mean, SAG was looking at the Screen Actors Guild was looking at having like an office here as well, and all different kinds of things were in the works. So in essence, I know you can go to alaskafilminginitiative.org is your website. Is that the best place for people to sort of support and get involved or find out more information?
Right now, that's where we're sending people to. Okay. And there you can see in more detail those three things that we just specified, the incentive, the feasibility study to understand what comes, the film office, and the website. And then if you're supporting it, like if you want to see this, sign it. So there's, you know, a letter you can sign and it's right there on the front. But if you want to get more involved, there's our email address. And so that's what we're saying right now. It's like, go to the website, support it, get your name on the list, and then we'll also be sharing that with an email newsletter every once in a while.
Yeah, because what was that film? It was filmed in Juneau. Wildlike, I think it was called. there was like a really independent film that shot here. And I think it might have been after the incentive. So I know people still shoot here.
Yeah, we
but
do.
Yeah. It's not as, I mean, in terms of like productions coming in, and there's obviously commercials that are shot here. Of course, people know there's many, many
reality shows.
Reality shows that are filmed here. But you're talking about narrative storytelling films.
Yeah, it's definitely part of it for sure. Yeah. I mean, we definitely want more. The commercial stuff. A lot of the big businesses that do shoot big budget commercials have pulled out of Alaska or have gone to Canada, hired because it's, you know, it's easy. If you can't save money here, well, let's go where we can save money. And so, yeah, we want everything back. We want jobs for everybody. We want, you know, not just the filmmakers, but the contractors, like Alex was saying, like the electricians, the blue collar, you know, workers.
And the stories of the people that are here to be told in the place where the stories are set, which is kind of cool. I'm all about that. So Alex Salee, Stephen Cornfield, thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little bit of information. Good luck with all of your meetings down here to the radio.
We have a filmmakers meetup tonight from 6 to 8 at Red Dog Saloon. So it's just anyone from any film level, even if you're just interested or want to be an ally to the community, like come out and hang out with us tonight.
That sounds good. Red Dog Saloon tonight. Get to meet some of the folks from the Alaska Filming Initiative, and you can go to alaskafilminginitiative.org for more information and find out ways that you can get involved. Gunnath Cheesh for being here. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, interested in working in television? Get some training this spring break from Juno Live Studio during their showrunner camp. We'll find out how next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Explore the world of television production right here in Juno. Juno Live Studio is offering TV production camps and courses for middle and high school students this spring break. Here to tell us more about it are Brad Perkins, producer for Juno Live, and Clarice Beathers. Gunnath Cheesh, hi, how are you?
We're great. Thanks for having us on to talk about this.
Of course. Absolutely. So what is Juno Live? And then transfer that into what is Showrunner Camp?
Yeah. So Juno Live Studio is our at Resurrection Lutheran Church. We happen to have this $60,000 television studio that we put in during COVID. And we like to share that ability with the community. We did a lot of television production during COVID, and we still do productions for groups that want to come in and use the studio for various things. We produce a lot of concerts and things like that. But we've been doing this Youth Activity Board grant program for a couple of years now, where we, during spring break or in the summer, we have a television production camp for youth. And so it's paid for. It's a free tuition camp. And for 1 week, you can come in and we'll teach TV production. And at the end of the week, the crew that comes in, the students that come in, learn enough about how to run the studio, and then they get to do a live concert. And so the camp previously has been for middle and high school students, and we do a rock concert. And so at Friday night of that week, we have at least four bands come in, and they run the studio without our assistance. And we have a live studio audience, and four major bands in town will come in, want to come in and do this. And, you know, it's a really great event, and their names are in the credits for that concert. And it's a really fun thing to do. But new this time, after a request by a lot of parents, we are doing a half-day studio apprentice camp for kids that are elementary. And Clarice is going to be the director of that camp.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, tell us about that camp, Clarice.
So that camp is a half-day camp. It is, so it goes parallel with the older kids, but we're only a half day. And at the end of our week on that Friday, we're going to do a show with Stephanie Tongsted, who's the operational manager for the Southeast Alaska Food Bank, and Brad Smith, who is a noted chef and now a sales rep for US Foods. They're going to do a talk show and a cooking show for our last segment.
Whoa, that's kind of cool. And so this is like, do we get a lot of returning students to come to these? And are they, do they get, like, as you grow into the program, do you get more and more responsibility kind of thing?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the exciting things about this is we've had kids that have been coming through, and we have two that have matured through the program that were mentors after their first year and have now matured into being instructors. So Elle Carpenter and Haley Woodford, Riley Woodford's daughter, are now instructors at this particular camp. So they will be helping out both in the older camp, but mostly in the younger camp this time. And so they're actually full instructors. Just tremendous, tremendous. We can bring people up through the program like that.
Oh, that's great. And so who should be the target audience for this? Obviously, it's youth. But is there a certain age group, or is there a certain kind of skills that maybe a parent should be looking at and being like, they should go to TV production camp?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's certainly anyone who's thinks they are attracted to the arts or something like that. But unlike the STAR program, and I used to be at Perseverance Theater when we were doing the STAR, they do a great STAR program. That is oriented toward people that want to, they have talent. They want to do a talent kind of thing. This is kind of behind the scenes. So if you think you want to, you know, work into the behind the scenes things, work in broadcast or work in anything like that, it's a great opportunity to be exposed into doing that. And so we, the people at this camp, we don't appear on stage. We work backstage. And there's opportunities in Juneau, for example, to do production, working on things like the Folk Fest and things like that. Or, and eventually they're great careers. There's just tons of opportunities to work in television production. And even if you're like a gamer and you want to learn how to broadcast your games, we use OBS, which is the gamers platform, to do all that. So really a great opportunity to do all that. But once again, it's free. And you just go to showrunnercamp.org to learn more about it or to register. And it's like I said, it's a lot of fun. We feed the kids all week. Both the both groups get both breakfast and lunch. And you can get a lot of exposure.
It's free.
It's free, paid for by the Youth Activity Board, by the citizens of Juneau through their tax revenue. So
oh, that is amazing. Okay, so run us down the dates one more time. And when do we have to sign up by?
So it is over spring break, so when everyone's off, not doing anything, and you can register right up to the day of the camp. And so it starts on the 18th of March, and the closing, the performances are on Friday the 22nd of the week. But we'll take registrations. You can come the day of the camp, and we'll still let you in on that if we have openings. So people are signing up now. We have 20 openings for the Showrunner Camp, which is for high school and middle school students. And we have 12 openings for the Studio Apprentice Camp, which is, again, for the elementary school kids. And again, more details at showrunnercamp.org.
Showrunnercamp.org. What's amazing is that I think the church has this TV studio, right? And I know that it's being used for lots of things. And it's such a wonderful resource to have in Juneau that maybe people don't know about. And so the idea of being able to say, hey, let me get my kid involved. Because like you said, like the Perseverance STAR program is a little bit more about the acting side or the onstage side, but the technical side, the skills. And, you know, we have Gavel Alaska here at KTOO, and that is filmed and film cameras and all the production that goes into that. And so the training for all the technical skills behind the scenes are so important and so valuable. And the fact that this is no cost to a parent for spring break, and you're wondering what to do with your kid.
It's
throw them into Showrunner Camp.
Right. And we'll take care of them. You drop them off in the morning and we'll keep them there all day. And if you're younger ones, we'll keep them there until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's, you know, the kids have a lot of fun. It's not a heavy duty. It's not high pressure, but they get exposure to a lot of fun things. And we treat everyone like crew. And so that's what, you know, those have been through, say, it's a really marvelous experience. And we bring in professionals. The teachers like Clarice don't live here. We fly them in to do this camp. They're all, don't get paid for it. It's all volunteer work, but it's a real great thing. And we have professionals like Keith Giles teaches sound, Paul McDermott teaches directing, and we have other people that teach, people that came out of KTOO studio downstairs teach the camera operation.
So. I love that. Well, Brad and Clarice, thanks for coming in. Telling us about Showrunner Camp. For more information or to get your kids signed up, it's showrunnercamp.org. And it's happening over spring break, March 18th through the 22nd. Gwyneth Cheesh for coming in today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Up next, more middle and high school adventures as well. Find out about the summer running camps from Lynn Canal Adventures next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Every Alaskan can make a difference when they file online for their PFD. Pick, Click, Give, a great and easy way to support nonprofits in Alaska. You simply donate during your PFD application process. There are dozens of nonprofits that you can support in Juneau alone, including KTOO. The application period for the PFD begins January 1st and runs through March 31st. More information can be found at pickclickgive.org.
Listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Lynn Canal Adventures Holistic Running Camps for Middle and High School Youth. Registration is beginning very soon, and the camps fill up really fast. So this is a good reminder. We're a little early. And today I have in the studio with me, I have Mary Ellefson, who is a longtime runner in Juneau and is one of the instructors, I believe, too, right? Are you one of the instructors, Mary?
I call myself a year-round coordinator of Lynn Canal Adventures Boston. There's four of us. We work year-round in a lot of programs, and our camps are
focused.
Yeah,
lots of
focus.
Different ones. Yep, but yeah, yep, yeah. Yep. And today we're here to talk about the summer ones. And I have two students with me, Sigrid Eller and Bay White. Gwyneth Cheesh for being here. Wasa iti.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah? How are you, Bay?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? Okay. So tell me a little bit about camp, y'all. Like, let's start with you. Like, you know, wait, you both have been in the middle camp, middle school camp, but now you're moving on into the high school camp, right?
Yes.
So, but describe for me, so like another middle schooler out there who wants to get into this, what can they expect if they sign up for camp, running camp? Lots of running, I would assume.
Yeah, there's a lot of running. There's also a lot of crazy, funny, bizarre things that we do. And it always ends up being really a really satisfying experience, for sure.
Okay, what kinds of things do you do? What are these crazy things you speak of?
We talked in the back about how do we spill our secrets and which ones. And so we're going to do a little bit of secret spilling, right? So,
yeah, just a little bit. Just a tease.
Yeah. Bay, do you want to talk about the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. So, running camp every day, we do a lot of really fun events, but one of the, probably my favorite parts, and probably Sigrid's too, is the Olympics. You split up into teams, and you do different games that involve running, and at the end, there's, like, a prize for the team that won, and you score it. It's really fun.
So we're doing like Olympics. Like, are we doing like the 100-yard dash and things like that?
No, like quirky Lynn Canal running camp Olympics.
Yeah. I want to say a lot of them don't involve running. I don't know what that cookie thing was on your forehead last year that you had to eat. And that was pretty interesting.
Oh, so there's more than just running that happens.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So is it sort of, and these are structured in which way, Mary? Is it week long or is it 2 weeks long? How's the structure of the camp work?
So we have four camps this year, four separate camps, two high school overnight camps that are based out of the Methodist camp. That registration opened 2 weeks ago. Those camps are full. with waitlists, but just as a plug, we always go into our waitlist and we need, so get on and don't let campus full deter you. Get on there if you can. Our second set of camps are our two separate weeks of middle school camps. They run Monday through Friday from 9 to 4:30. They're day camps based all around in different areas and different base stations out of Juneau, from Perseverance Theater to churches to Greening Park to Eagle Crest. So the first day we figure out carpooling for people who might not be able to figure that out. So we make sure everybody has a way to get to camp. But the days are comprised of, I'm going to call them running adventures. Sometimes you don't even know you're running. Olympics. We also do a lot of different workshops, whether that's like Zumba or workouts on Sandy Beach. And then we have some reflection time and time to get together. Our tagline is courage and community through sport. So I think everything falls into that category.
I love that. Courage and community through sport. I love that. And of course, you can go to lynncanaladventures.org where you can get all the information about the specific dates and the specific weeks and all that different things. So Sigrid, what is the other aspect of the camp? And what I'm talking about is sort of the social aspect, right? Like, do you meet new friends in these camps? Are there, because maybe you're going to a different school and obviously I love this, that the locations are all over, because you can pick one that's maybe close to your house, but you could also pick one that's not close to your house and you could go and meet other people. So tell me a little bit about like some of the friends you've made. Would you consider Bay a friend?
Yes, I would consider it. Okay,
I would ask you if that friendship of going to camp was part of that. That's right, when Bay moved here from definitely. Gustavus.
Yeah, yeah. He went to my school that year, but we definitely hadn't really connected until Lynn Canal. And that was something we definitely have in common is sports.
I see. Okay. And so there's other people how many people are in a group, let's say, when you go to camp? How many people do you hang out with?
Like, there's definitely different groups because, like, speed, but mostly they really try to merge everyone together, and you definitely meet a lot of new people. Like, it's a very merging experience, for sure.
I see. Okay. And so, Bay, you moved here from Gustavus.
Yeah, I moved here from Gustavus when I was 11. I got here for my first year of middle school in sixth grade, and that was really fun. I'd say I met most of my friends through that.
Through running camp?
Yeah, it was like the first big social thing that I did when I moved here.
I see.
And most of my good friends now are people I met in running camp.
Okay. Wow, I like cool. that. That's yeah. really cool.
It's cool for us to hear too. Can I ask Bay, you're talking about this. Can you tell me what you said about, I was like, sometimes people are scared to come to this thing called running camp when literally a lot of what we don't do, we just keep moving and have fun and get to know each other. So I think it's a really interesting thing to think that running might be a deterrent, but Bay said something about running camp. Can you tell me? I said, what if you're new to this idea? And what did you say about running camp? Every year
I'm really scared, but it always is really fun and worth it.
Gotcha. I love that. I do. I love that. That's great. And it's almost like it's camp with running. Yeah. So maybe think about it that way. Like, there's some running, but then there's also a bunch of other things that you do. Because like you mentioned, the Olympics, they're not necessarily just running Olympics. There's just all kinds of fun games, putting cookies on your head and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
And a fair bit of swimming. We're diving into lakes and creeks and things a lot at running camp, aren't we? Yeah.
And I'm curious, does the running camp help you? I'm assuming that maybe you're involved in sports at your schools as well. So does some of that skills that you're getting in running camp transfer over when you get into whatever you're doing throughout the year?
Yeah, for sure. Like, running camp is always like a fun transition from like resting from summer to like getting back into sports for the school year.
Yeah.
It's definitely a nice like training kind of opportunity. Yeah.
And what kind of sports do you play, Bay? Are you playing other things at school?
Yeah. Me and Sigrid, we both run cross country and Nordic ski. And also I'm a pretty big downhill skier.
Downhill skiing. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I love that. So these camps are just a blast. Yeah. Is what I'm getting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super good way to stay active during the summer.
Super good way to stay active
and really
during
messy.
The
Our camps are messy. We just want to say that, like, I'll talk about a lot of times we talk about nutrition, or we talk about injury prevention, or we do some core strengthening, and it's just it's a great reminder that being a human is messy, coming to camp is messy, and we like to kind of get dirty together. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Well,
and can I say one more thing? Yeah. I just want everyone to know that all abilities are welcome to camp.
Yeah, that's
when
right,
you
yeah.
get online, you can see there's a little sheet. We will be moving. We'll ask you to consider those things we do. But it is, particularly middle school, it's an introduction to this thing that some of us are really, really passionate about, because it's helped us stitch together friendships and a lot of things throughout life. And we have the most amazing trail system in the nation, one of them. And we get to go all over and explore that, in addition to having all these experts come in and share more about how we can be holistic and understand our body and mind as we move it.
It's so great. And middle school can be some of the awkward times of growing up. So getting out, moving your body and meeting new people is always a good thing to do, right? So that's kind of fun. And messy, like you said, it's messy.
Yeah.
LynnCanalAdventures.org. That's LynnCanal, adventures.org, where you can find out all the information to sign up. So middle school camps are ready to sign up. You said basically some of the other camps, the high school camps.
High school's camps opened February 15th, but you can still register. It's sliding scale. We don't want cost to be a deterrent to anyone, and you'll see that on there. So you just pay what you can to our camps. I believe middle school is anywhere from $0 to $500, but just pay what you can to come to camp. We have a lot of community support so that people can enjoy that. Registration starts at 6 a.m., and I just want to put a plug to our YouTube channel, Lynn Canal Running Camp, and there's a great 2-minute movie on there, Why Come to Camp.
Why come to camp? I love that. Mary Bay, Sigrid, thank you so much for coming and going to the cheese, break thank a leg, you. Or don't break a leg. I say that, that's from the theater, but obviously in running. What do you say in running for, like, good luck?
Well, we do break legs, so I think that might mean it's something happening. We break a leg, don't break a leg.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. Yeah.
Or break a hand. I broke my hand last year.
All right, well, Gunnath Cheese, thanks for coming in. LynnCanalAdventures.org for all the information. Really appreciate it.
Gunnath Cheese, thank you.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Tomorrow, culture-rich conversations from Juno's Black Awareness Association celebrates Women's History Month by featuring Black women in history born in March. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.